Welcome to Daytime Confidential, the first and only podcast of its kind, the one-stop source for daytime news, gossip, opinions, and more. Hey, daytime fans, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Luke. In tonight's podcast, we will be discussing General Hospital going to primetime, daytime stars in primetime, Stuart Damon on Guiding Light, and much, much more, so stay tuned. Well, Lisa, this is
Pretty broad spec for them right there.
This is a very exciting day for TV Fan Online.
I think so.
Folks, we have some guests today. It has always been our goal since the beginning of the site launched that for us to launch a movie podcast as well as a daytime podcast. And so we are here today with our movie reviewers for TV Fan Online. We have Susan. We have Susan, who is our movie muse. Say hello, Susan.
Hi, everybody.
And we have Craig, who is our movie maniac.
Hello.
And then we have Corey, who keeps it PG and writes all the reviews for you so that you know what your kids can and can't watch in the movie theaters. Say hello there, Corey.
How's it going?
I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I can't wait for us to record.
You sound real excited there, Luke. Hold it down there.
Can you try that one more time?
Yeah.
Calm down a bit.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. I can't help that if my voice does not convey my level of enthusiasm. I just can't help it.
That's it.
But, so we figured for the daytime podcast. Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot. We figured for the daytime podcast, we'd have them on, tell us a little bit about themselves and their movie interests, and maybe discuss movies as it relates to daytime for a few minutes. So, Craig, why don't you tell us a little bit about your movie interests?
Well, I've been watching movies since God was a little boy, and there are a few people in the world that probably have seen more movies than I have. I have a collection of over 3,000 movies.
Wow.
And getting more every day, so... started watching in the early mid-50s, whenever it was, and haven't stopped since.
And folks, he's so hardcore that when it comes to his movie watching and budgeting, he budgets his movies before anything else. That's how hardcore he is.
That's cool.
Absolutely true.
That's cool.
Susan, why don't you tell us a little about yourself and the types of movies you like to watch?
Well, like Craig, I've been a movie fan for quite some time. I can't quite say that I've been watching movies since God was a little boy. Ray, it says Craig is way, way older than I am. but I'm totally a movie lover. I especially love suspenseful movies. But I'm open to all types, the comedies, the thrillers, the slasher flicks. I pretty much like them all across the board. So glad to be here, glad to be talking with everybody about any sort of screen entertainment, be it TV or movies. So,
and for those of you who do not know, Susan also does double duty as the editor of TV Fan Online, in that all the columns that are posted on the daytime side are all edited by her. So big applause for her.
So, yay. Yeah, I'm movie muse and comma queen.
There you go. There you go.
That's right.
Thanks. So, Corey, you keep everything PG for us at TV Fan Online and telling people what they should or should not take their kids to and what's safe for them to take their kids to. How did you come to get that job, and why were you interested in it, and why did you write movies reviews that way?
Well, movies have always been family with me. Growing up, it was always my dad. We always watched movies like crazy, and so I actually have a love for all kinds of movies, but since my family has recently expanded, I really care about what my family sees and what my two boys are going to grow up and watch. And so I just want to make sure that other people know what's out there and what they should or shouldn't take their kids, because even though a lot of people probably don't care what their kids watch, there are a lot out there also that do. So,
yep.
So that's what
like me.
Yeah.
Well, and we were trying to think of movies that would have a correlation to daytime, and I realized that Craig and Corey may not have realized this, but for those of us who are in daytime and have specifically watched the show All My Children, Josh Duhamel left All My Children and to pursue a TV and movie career, and he is going to be in the upcoming blockbuster movie Transformers this year. So I just figured I'd ask what you guys were how much you guys were looking forward to the new Transformers movie.
Corey?
Yeah.
Calm down.
No drooling.
You caught me too late on that one.
All right.
No, there's some huge movies coming out this summer, okay? We got Spider-Man 3, Shrek 3, Pirates of the Caribbean 3, all these different movies. And seriously, Transformers probably is rivaling Spider-Man 3 for my biggest movie to look forward to. I mean, it's huge. It's just going to be a huge movie. It's Michael Bay. It's about robots. It's live action. I mean,
but it's not a 3.
No, but it's a first.
That's what makes it better.
That's even better. No, but it's
kidding.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know too much about Josh Duhamel, and I probably said his name completely wrong, but
exactly right.
But the fact that because of him I get to talk about Transformers on this podcast, that makes it okay for me. So it's going to be an awesome movie, so make sure you're there for it. It's going to be great.
Have you ever seen the show Las Vegas? He's the guy on that.
Bits and pieces of it.
Okay. Well, he's
Corey's not as big of a TV watcher as he is a movie watcher.
See, I'm not either, and I just knew he was on Las Vegas. So it's not daytime, I don't want it. So.
This movie doesn't even... I mean, yes, people are important, but just the robots themselves are going to be amazing.
People are important.
I think that this is one of the. I think Transformers is one of those movies where it's going to be like Spider-Man was when it first came out. Everybody's so excited to see it, they don't care about necessarily the people who star in it.
Well, Shia LaBeouf's in it, and then also Jamie Foxx too, I believe.
What is he not in though?
Yeah,
he's everything under the sun these days.
Right.
It's a stro.
Well, Craig,
it's got Megan Fox. I don't see Jamie Foxx.
Is it not Jamie? I swear I thought he was in that. No. I'm so sorry. I feel horrible after
that. Oh, so...
So who
David
is
the one who's in it?
Matt Fabulous.
Well, Lisa...
Yes.
Has it been fun or what, having the movie...
It's been a blast.
Yes, it is. And so, folks, if you are listening to this podcast, be sure to tune in to the Movie Junkie podcast, subscribe to it in iTunes, and be sure to tune in because it's going to be a blast, and it's been our pleasure to have you guys with us here today.
Thanks a lot.
So thank you, Craig. Thank you, Susan. And thank you, Corey.
Until next time.
Yes, there you go. Lisa?
Yes?
It's been quite a week, hasn't it?
I love it when you say that. It brings back old memories.
Old memories? Why
of
old
like
memories?
A month ago when you used to say that every podcast.
Well, see, I'm in the habit of it whenever we start a new podcast and like we just got done talking to the people from the new Movie Junkie podcast.
They're so cool.
Oh, most definitely. And it's one of those things where because I'm a very habitual person, I fall back on things. So I can't help it. It's just in my nature. It's in my nature.
You're very straight. You're very goal-oriented, very linear. I, however, am not. That's why we work. That's why we click. That's why we rock. So let's get to the good stuff.
So what was rocking for you this week, then?
I opened up my soap opera digest. I'm going to go to this first because it just tickled me.
Pink, purple, or blue?
Oh, tickled me. I like orange as my favorite color, so tickled me orange.
Okay.
Some of the castmates on General Hospital have spoken out about Stuart Damon's firing.
In Soap Opera Digest, did you say?
Yes, in Soap Opera Digest, page 5.
Ooh.
And it's,
so not quite front page, but close enough.
But close enough. I mean, it's one of the first things you see. And it's the February 27th edition.
Mm-hmm.
And Rebecca Herbst, who plays Elizabeth, says this, quote, "It's very sad, and I'm not afraid to say I don't understand why, and I do not agree with it at all. This does hurt. I've only been here 10 years. He's been here almost 30, and that's really hard to swallow." Hello. But this is the one that just made my year.
Okay, what's
that? Are you ready?
I'm bracing myself.
Kimberly McCullough, who plays Robin.
Well, talk about someone.
Stuart Damon's firing. This is what she says. "It's completely irresponsible and cruel and uncalled for. That's on the record." I love her.
Yes.
I love her.
We need to get an interview with her.
Oh, I'm 100% behind it because she has moved up. She is on Alicia Minshew and Gina Tognoni level with me now.
Well, and the great thing about her is the fact that since she's in a very hot couple, and she's a very, very popular character, she has the fortunate ability to be able to say what she wants and probably get away with a little bit of it. Because, let's face it, you get into the age of 40 range, and then you end up like Katie McClain.
Right. Well, I did hear rumors that Tony Geary had said backstage to Jackie Zeman. Jackie Zeman goes, after they heard about Damon's finding, this is a rumor, this is not substantiated. But
so giant allegedly then.
So I've heard it from a pretty reputable source, though, saying that she said, should we all be looking for our coats? And Luke said, anyone over 40 should be looking for their coats.
Luke or Anthony Geary?
Anthony Geary said that to Jackie Zeman. Now, if Anthony Geary said that, who you think would have all the job security in the world?
I mean, he's one of like four people in daytime who should have as much job security as.
Right. So, what does that say about morale backstage?
Oh, it's got to be horrible.
I'm as good as the soap is right now.
I know. Is it just?
And they pulled a 3-1 this week. Hello.
They pulled a 3-1.
Yes.
Why do I keep getting these ratings?
I emailed you the ratings. I did.
You did.
I did.
Well, something must be going wrong with my email because people keep saying they send me stuff and I'm not getting them. So I don't know.
General Hospital hit a 3-1 this past week.
Well, that's good. That's like the first time in years.
In years, and they've deserved it. I've loved it right now. And
Friday's episode with the way they filmed it. It was the best filming since the explosion on All My Children last May or February.
Oh yeah, it was poignant and effective, and I really liked it. So, anyways, back to Stuart Damon.
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead. You can't wait what?
I can't wait to see where they... I thought you were transitioning very well by doing this, but...
Well, I was.
Okay,
but,
sorry. It's one of those things where I can't believe how impressed I am. I mean, with General Hospital these days, I mean, it's gone from being an absolutely horrible soap to one that I'm actually tuning in through, and I'm very fast-forwarding through very little. I mean, I actually did not fast forward through a Sonny and Carly scene this past week.
What?
And that's like the first time in years.
That is amazing for you.
I know. I mean, and there's no way to fast forward through the Sam stuff, but I mean, still, it's been great. I loved everything. I mean, in terms of the dialogue, in terms of the character dynamics, General Hospital knows how to do sweeps, and they're doing it right. Now, if they can just carry on this dynamic, I mean, they've thrown a whole... Someone in the forums, and I may not be quoting them exactly, so forgive me, but someone had said, it's amazing how you look at General Hospital, and General Hospital is upending things and throwing different new people together so that they have different dynamics and that there's lots of...
Which is what soaps used to do.
Exactly. So there's lots of, like, potential storylines spawned from this event. Mm-hmm. And then you have All My Children and One Life to Live, which there's pretty much nothing.
Yeah, and their ratings are up too, and I think that is directly attributed to General Hospital. I really do, and I hate saying that. As you know, as a Guiding Light fanatic, I hate saying that, but hey, when it's good, it's good. I got to give it props. And I honestly believe that the reason why All My Children and One Life to Live ratings are up are because of General Hospital.
Well, I mean, it's...
Because, I mean...
The halo effect?
Sweeps. There is no sweeps in One Life to Live. It's boring. And then All My Children, the Satin Slayer, Stalker, Sicko, whatever is going on there.
God, how much is that?
And did you hear who the killer is? What a cop-out, stupid, just idiotic
I'm still
twist.
Trying to get over the fact that they went and had the two funerals together.
Oh, see, in my new column this week, that'll be up, what, Monday?
Or Tuesday.
In Tempo or Tuesday, sorry. I never can remember.
It's Monday or Tuesday, give or take a day.
Okay, we'll say Tuesday just to be safe. I address that because I'm thinking, how do I go about that? Do I die at a certain day and then wait for somebody I like to die to? I mean, do they give me something where I don't smell?
It's like a 2-for-1 special.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I said.
The Chandlers can more than afford more than a 2-for-1 special.
Well, is it so packed at the Pine Valley Funeral Home that they have to do 2-for-1?
Oh, and and not only that, but they can't even afford to do it inside. Okay, if you took a look at the real
it's
life, what
is
happening? Well, yeah, people are stranded on an interstate. The National Guard is taking out supplies to people stranded in the snow on an interstate, and Pine Valley is amazingly having a funeral with green grass and with no snow. And it's outdoor and funeral.
No hose. I didn't see anybody wearing pantyhose. I was like, dudes, it's cold.
Well,
see, that's just stuff I look at, okay?
But there's still something wrong with... I mean, why... It seems like every single funeral that we've been getting... Didn't Aaron and Simone's funeral... Wasn't that a double whammy?
Yes.
Okay. It's the two-for-one specials. I mean, the funeral...
It's disrespectful.
The funeral director in Pine Valley must have great two-for-one specials.
Well, he must be pissed because he's getting cheated out of money. If you think about it.
Well, maybe the
two
volume...
Two funerals instead of four?
Well, you know, maybe he's using the Walmart principle and basing it on volume and not price.
Oh, he can... Whatever. I don't care about him. I cared about Dixie, and she didn't even get her own funeral.
And the funeral was about Babe. Exactly.
Who's not even dead.
Yeah, the whole thing became about Babe, and how much did you... I mean, all of a sudden, I'm imagining Psycho green pea soup, like, spouting from your mouth because of
the whole...
I thought
you were talking about Greenlee. Is that a new word for Greenlee?
No.
Wow.
Spouting from your mouth when you heard Bianca say, oh, I've forgiven her. I about went through the freaking roof.
Oh, I had to pause the TV because I was really tempted to turn it off. And see, I can't turn it off because I write the column. She couldn't forgive Maggie for cheating. She went off on Erica for cheating, right?
Uh-huh. And yet, she can forgive the woman who stole her child.
And kept her from...
Yeah.
You know, that's why I keep telling Maggie, go steal her kid. She'll forgive you. It'll be all good.
Well, and you know what? And you know what's really ironic is, for the first time this past week, I mean, we've picked on Zarf, and I still think that it's just a stunt. But at the funeral, Zoe / Zarf singing was very
nice.
It was very poignant.
Well, I like Zarf / Zoe. Zoarf, whatever.
I just call him Zozo. I just call him Zozo.
Oh, that's good. Well, when he's quiet and poignant, and when he's not over the top and judgmental, I really like him. And I like his new Kim Novak do. That's pretty cool.
Well, and what's up with the outdoor filming?
I don't know.
I'm like, I was trying to figure out what that is. I mean, and we won't even discuss the whole Ryan sleeping with Annie and the...
Oh, no. I want to discuss that. Because I just...
You're gonna bring up the fact that I called it Windermere instead of...
I wasn't. Uh-huh. Oh, but I will. No. I was going to talk about the Valentine's Day episode where they released the balloons. I thought it was real sweet. You know, after all these deaths and stuff, I've been kind of numb. I haven't cried at all.
I fast-forwarded through 75% of that episode.
You missed it because it was cute. And when they released the balloons, I was like, oh, that's cute. That's kind of sweet, you know. And I'm usually not into the cute and sweet. I'm usually like, well. But it was sweet. But then Amanda released a balloon for Trevor. And for her dead dog, Harold, I lost it. Because as a longtime viewer of All My Children, everybody knows and loves Harold the dog.
Okay.
I'll send you clips of Harold the dog. You old-time All My Children fans, you know what I'm talking about. How cool he was, how there was a summer storyline where he had gotten put in California. He made his way back to Pine Valley to save Trevor from Janet. It was great. And they showed him getting his way back and getting hooked up with different families across the country. It was a really cute story. And everybody loves Harold the Dog. So when she released a balloon for Harold the Dog, I started crying. Now, I didn't cry over Dixie's death. I sure as heck didn't cry over Babe's death. I didn't cry over Simone. I did not cry over Aaron or Danny or anybody like that.
Well, Danny's not dead either.
Well, you know what I mean. I didn't cry. I didn't even kind of tear up. But when she released the thing for Harold, I was all, the dog.
I'll order you a shipment of Puffs.
Puffs?
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that a Procter & Gamble product?
I don't know.
Okay, well, anyways.
Puffs is not an official sponsor of the Daytime Confidential podcast.
Well, we wish you were, though.
Yes.
If you want to be, we're more than happy to hawk your product.
Yes,
anyways,
exactly. We have to pay for this podcast somehow.
Well, I kept thinking, what does that say about the writing? And then they went to Zach and Kendall's scenes, which were really sweet and cute. Now he always touches her butt when he hugs her. I just think that's really cute.
Oh, completely off the topic.
Yeah?
Did you watch Leno the other night?
No.
Have you heard anything about, I'm going to forget her name. And
really, you forget somebody's
name? Yeah, exactly. And Terry Hatcher and George Bush. Have you heard anything about that?
Oh, yeah, where he grabbed her little butt?
Yeah, exactly. It was... I know it's completely off topic, but she was on Leno and they replayed it like 5 times, and she claims that she never remembers him pinching her butt. It was the funniest thing.
I thought it was great.
Well, you meant
until we get a gossip podcast, we have to talk about stuff.
So. Okay.
Well, anyways, back to Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day and One Life to Live. What'd you think?
One Life to Live. Okay. Okay. How do I talk about this?
The costumes were great.
Yes, and they all looked beautiful. Even the men. All of it.
Stunning.
Except for McMummy, he didn't look good.
But how apropos is that?
I'm sorry. That irony, I'll say it again, is not lost on me. Don't tell me they don't know how surly and impossible and stupid and lifeless John McMahon is. Don't tell me they don't know. Anyways, I thought everybody did a good job acting. I'm sick to death of Evangeline being held up as all that's goodness and light on the show. Give her some edge. I would like her a lot more. I'm sick to death of Todd and Blair. You know?
They need a break.
They do. Bree Williamson looked fabulous. How do I say this?
Just spit it out.
It was cheesy, and not in a good way.
And see, that's what I was talking to a friend about it, because I actually missed it. I had stuff come up on the 14th, and so I missed basically Guiding Light special episode. I missed One Life
thing.
To Live. I ended up fast-forwarding through 75% of All My Children's.
Yeah.
And so I was a little bit short on Valentine's things this week, but I was talking to a friend about it, and she goes, you know, to be honest, it was just cheesy.
Oh, good. I wasn't hard about it. Okay, good. Yeah, it seemed to be really cool when we saw the pictures, you know, how excited we were, because it just looked really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was just so disappointed. I guess I should learn to expect that from One Life to Live. I'm a terrible person, but yeah. It was cute, but yeah. But, you know, what was good was the Guiding Light episode.
Was it? And see, and I wish I would remember to DVR it.
Well, you know, it's probably up on YouTube by now.
That's possible.
But it was good. It was very touching, I thought. And I thought, I love Jordan Clark anyways, but just his personality in real life, I know I would just adore him if I met him in person. And when Michael Dempsey messed up the grits at breakfast, who plays Alan Michael, I just thought that was so cute. And how emotional Stephanie Gache and Nicole Forrester got when they saw the devastation down there. I thought it was a really special way to show that actors have a heart and do care. I thought it would have been effective in primetime. I don't know if it had gotten any ratings, but it was worth watching.
They should have done it like an Oprah special and put it in primetime.
Yeah, but you know, Guiding Light's very low rated. I don't think anybody would watch it. But
well, speaking of low ratings, mm-hmm. One Life to or not One Life to Live, but As the World Turns is getting a really low rating for me.
It tied with Guiding Light this week.
Are you 2.3. Serious?
Yeah.
What is going on?
Because it's boring as crap.
The only interesting parts of this, I never thought I would see the day where I said that I actually enjoyed something with Austin Peck in it, but he has been brilliant as Brad.
I don't know if I'd say brilliant, but he's been pretty good.
Okay,
yeah.
By comparison to the Austin character on Days of Our Lives, it's freaking brilliant. I am enjoying it. I like his dynamic with Katie. I like his dynamic with Vienna. I love the brotherly duo thing with Jack and him. It's all work. That is the one thing about the entire show that is working for me on all cylinders. Everything else, Paul as a psychic, sucks.
That's way sucky.
You already know my opinion on Meg. Then you have this whole thing
Meg and who?
I said you already know my opinion on Meg.
Yeah, but Meg and who? Who is she with right now?
Well, Paul and Craig.
Meg and Craig. Who is writing this soap? Dr. Seuss? I mean, Green Eggs and Ham. This is so stupid. Don't put a couple together that their names rhyme. Craig and Meg. It's just so silly.
Well, maybe it should be Keg or something. I don't know. I mean, they're a couple name. And then the teen storyline. They have reduced the very talented actors who portray Gwen and Will and Maddie to this completely ridiculous storyline about Adam's death. I mean, the most shocking thing about this whole last week is when they had Adam jump out of the grave and grab him in the dream. I mean, that, like, literally almost
scared
me.
Yeah, that was pretty spooky.
It was really spooky, but the show is sucking. It's like, how the mighty have fallen. This is once heralded the... I mean, I would have never thought, having watched the show now for, what, 5 years... 6 years of this of the CBS soaps. It's the one I've been watching the longest.
Oh, okay.
I never thought I would see the day where it would get this bad, and it's just horrible. But on the flip side, then you have Austin Peck, who's basically pulling a Katie McClain and thriving in this role as Brad Snyder, like she did in the role of Rosanna Cabot.
Right. Well, we'll see how that works in the future, if they're going to keep him with the edge that he has, because I like the edge, and I think that's what didn't work for Austin on Days of Our Lives. He was so straight-laced. He never let loose. He wasn't fun. And Brad's kind of fun.
Well, we just have to give I just have to applaud Austin Peck, because there have been I mean, let's face it. When I take and criticize someone or a character that someone's portraying on a show, and then I see them on another show, I've got to admit when I've done wrong. However, in that being said, the single best thing that could happen to the actress who portrays Meg is to leave at another world and end up on another, or not another world, but As the World Turns, and end up on another soap so that she can have a transformation as well.
See, I like Meg, and I know you don't. So, you know, I think she's just so beautiful. And
well, she is a very beautiful woman, but the character...
Oh, did you hear who's coming back to As the World Turns? Allison Stewart is coming back. She won't be played by the same actress. She'll be played by Marnie Schulenberg.
Is it just me, or... I love the last Allison. Absolutely loved
too.
Her.
They probably couldn't get her back.
But where is
Jessica
she?
Dunphy?
I haven't seen her in anything.
Well, who knows? She may be on Broadway. Who knows? You know, but Jessica Dunphy, yeah, I loved her too. I loved her eyes. She was a perfect cross between Susan and Emily. I thought she was great. But they probably couldn't get her back. But...
Well, I'm more than excited to see a new reincarnation. Let's just hope it's a great recast and not ending up being like a Bell recast.
Well, you know who's talked about being recast right now?
Greenlee.
Well, that too. We talked about that, haven't we?
Well,
Lauren Woodland and...
If Lauren Woodland
Jessica
ends
Morris.
Up as if Lauren Woodland ends up as Greenlee, I will have no problems with that. That is the only actress other than Rebecca Buttig who I would like as the character of Greenlee. So,
well, you know it's not going to be her then.
Yeah, I know. Go figure.
No. There's rumor. It's strict rumor. I'm not believing it, for one thing. And watch, it'll happen because I say I don't believe it.
Oh, is this the Guiding Light rumor?
Yes, that Ed Bauer's about to be recast and that Stuart Damon is being courted to do so.
Okay, I have a question. Did he originally play this role a long, long time ago?
No.
Because I thought I'd read that rumor somewhere as returning to the role.
No.
Like, so I was under the impression that he may have been it for a short time and then left and then landed on General Hospital and has been there ever since.
Oh. I can't remember the name of the guy that originated the character, but Mark Holwit played him for a long time, and the last one that people remember the most is Peter Simon. But Stuart Damon is Ed Bauer. I've got mixed feelings.
So this is my question. As someone who has absolutely no clue who Ed Bauer is, what does this mean to me as a viewer? If
it
he were to return,
that the founding family of
other than that, because
has
obviously
a main
if
character
he,
coming back. Do you remember Michelle and Danny?
Yes,
Michelle.
I didn't like her father. I didn't like her at all. But.
Well, yeah, not under her. When she was played by Joey Lynch, she was fabulous. But that's Michelle's father. And he's like, he had an affair with Lillian, Beth's mother, and it caused his wife to die, Maureen. And that's one of the most memorable and regretful storylines that Guiding Light's ever done, when Maureen died.
Well, hey, I would be more than happy to see something happen with Lillian. I have loved her this week with the whole wedding thing. And
Tina Sloan is fabulous. I've gone on record before saying she has been woefully misused, underused. So is Marge Doucet, but and how nice
don't even
is
get me started on Marge Doucet. I loved her at the wedding with a little flask of alcohol.
Well,
great
didn't
touch.
We all want to take a
great
little drink?
Great touch.
Didn't we all want to take a little drink right then? Yeah. So who shot Alan?
You know, to be honest, I don't really care.
I don't either. As long as he goes down.
No, it's not. It's not even that. It's like I know that this Alan being shot. I mean, he's going to get better, there's not going to be a deal. It's not like he's dying.
Well, I know Ron Reigns needs a break for something. He's either in a play or something like that.
Well, it was suggested in the forums by some of our... You know, we have the most intelligent forum posters.
Do.
I mean, and our numbers are growing. But someone suggested, why in the world didn't they schedule this? First, like, why didn't they schedule Tom Pelfrey to, like, stick around for a few episodes so that it would be revealed that he was the shooter and then he disappeared?
Well,
I mean,
you know
how
what?
Great would that have been? And especially if, I mean, the person suggested, and I apologize if you're listening to the podcast for not crediting you properly, but the suggestion was he could have saw that Jonathan shot him and then been shot and whispered it and said it, and then he gets locked up in a psych ward because he knows that Jonathan's alive, but no one will believe him. I mean, how great would that have been?
Yeah. I kind of like the fact that I'm thinking Cassie did it.
Oh, I don't think Cassie did it.
Now.
I don't think Cassie did it. I think
Ghost Tammy did it.
No, I don't think it's that either. I'm going with the other theory that's in our forums, and it was that Doris brought had the guy she got off and sent back to Australia to do it.
Oh, really?
That's one theory. And to me, it would make perfect sense. She marries the guy and gets him shot so that she can inherit. I mean, I knew this is where we're going.
Boring.
But
I want to see Ashley a lot more. She is just a light on this show.
Oh, did you hear the solo, though?
Oh, well.
Yeah. That was no light. If anything, that put lights out.
But that... It's kind of funny, you know what I mean? It's Ashley.
Well, it is in that context. But let's put it this way: the woman doesn't have a hope in a well, not the woman, but the character of Ashley doesn't have a hope and a prayer of a recording contract. But that's just me. But while we're on the topic of guiding light,
well, I don't care about that. Go ahead.
DMFJ in the forums wrote, "I agree with a lot of your guiding light comments. Alan Michael and Beth would be fun and hot. Anything but having to see Ava. I just don't care for her character at all. I also agree that Cassie should be given more time to grieve over Tammy. Her stalking of Alan is fine with me. I've always liked Cassie. She's a fighter." Okay, I don't know that I necessarily agree with that.
Yeah.
But
I like her now.
The only time I didn't like her was when she was with Edmund. The guy chained her up in a tower and tried to kill a bunch of her family, but she got over it. Never flew with me. Before this week, I really thought it would have been good to have a Cassie recast. I thought that Judy Evans or Amy Carlson would be good, but I think that these last couple of weeks have been much better. She also goes on to say she liked that your reference to Rose Nyland from the Golden Girls.
Oh, yeah.
And she also seems to be playing a little game. Apparently, she thinks it's quite fun to think of a character and actor before I do. She says it's a little game that I play with myself, and it's not very hard either. So,
yeah. I see. I see. And she's the one, I was about to give her credit for being the one who brought up the whole Jonathan being Alan's shooter theory. That was her.
That was her?
Yeah, I just found the forum post. But you know what? I'm not going to give you credit for it. Yeah?
Though she does mention with General Hospital, "I'm with Luke. I think duct tape would kill coming off of a bullet paring knife cut wound. Duct
if
tape
she's
makes me.
Who cares?
Duct tape makes me think of MacGyver, and Richard Dean Anderson did used to be on General Hospital.
Yep. Yep, he did. So.
Also, in response to last week's post, some people were laughing their asses off over our little...
I hope they picked him up.
Our little banters and discussions. Apparently, Katie Baby is perfectly fine with me calling...
Katie Baby.
Excuse me. I have her permission. Listen to this.
I know, I heard.
She goes, "Ha ha, I'm still laughing at how hard you two were laughing at my Mr. Craig and Marty McFarty quote. And Luke, you can pronounce my name however you want." So there, Lisa.
Oh, sounds like somebody's got a little crush.
"The letters are K-T,
Katie.
But my name is Katie, so you can break it down or flow it however you want.
You should talk all sexy to Katie, baby."
Uh-huh.
So, like,
and she is also the one who pointed out my mispronunciation of Windermere, or Wild Wind as Windermere. So, thanks to our ever on top of things listeners.
I love how you're just ignoring me. I'm not going to talk about it. Come on. Oh, come on. She has a little crush on you. I think it's sweet.
Well, okay.
I don't have any stalkers.
Well, yeah, you do. Jor Pelé wrote in.
Oh, Jor Pelé.
Yeah, Jor Pelé wrote in after listening to the podcast as well last week, and she goes, Yoda lay he who. You all are hilarious. I love it, especially Jor Pelé. Before I listened to this, I was going to write in and say that you all, and only you all, could call me Yorpa, but I love Jorpa Lay. I'm so glad I could make you laugh, but you so made me laugh. Actually laughing to the point of tears, which is good, because Grey's Anatomy was making me cry. I needed the laugh. Oh, and by the way, duct tape gets rid of warts.
Thank you.
I don't really know that that was one of those things that we needed to know. That borders Jorpa Lay, that borders on the line of TMI.
Jor Pelé sorbet.
Ooh,
I like that.
There you go.
Jor Pelé sorbet. She's my girl. She's not my stalker. She's my friend. I haven't had somebody write in and basically say, you could call me whatever you want. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. That's all about.
Yeah.
I wish I had some porn music. Boom, chicka, boom, boom. I'm sorry. I'll be good now.
I don't even know where to take that. How do you segue porn music in a podcast?
Night shift.
Well.
General Hospital after dark. Or we could talk about Emily being a prostitute on Housewarming Earth.
Let's go with the after dark thing. All of a sudden, General Hospital's to try and go the Skinamax way.
Hey, I'd tune in for it, baby. But they said they're going to focus on the younger generation.
Well, and maybe for those of you who haven't heard about it, excuse me. Basically, General Hospital announced this week that SoapNet is going to premiere a 13-episode spin-off of General Hospital called General Hospital Night Shift, or After Dark, as we like to call it. Mm-hmm. It is going to be focusing, let's see here,
on the hospital and the goings-on after the scene. Since the sets and everything are already built, they're saving a lot on budget, and they're going to focus on the younger people of the hospital. And instead of having ongoing storylines, they're going to be standalone episodes.
And the production quality is going to be better.
Yeah, and so things will get wrapped up within the episodes, so General Hospital people that don't watch General Hospital can actually watch this and understand what's going on. So basically, it's going to be like a CSI light.
This is what I'm wondering. This is what I'm wondering.
Yes.
Are we going to be getting like General Hospital, The Hills? Have you ever watched The Hills?
Unfortunately, I watched one episode.
Oh, The Hills is by far probably one of the best filmed and directed reality shows ever. Or are we going to be getting basically Nip Tuck light? Are we going to be getting...
That's a good point.
Are we going to be getting... What is that Lifetime TV show? Something Medicine.
Strong Medicine?
Is it Strong Medicine? The one with the doctors?
Yeah.
Are we going to be getting a General Hospital equivalent of Strong Medicine? Are we going to be getting a General Hospital equivalent of, say, Monk or Psych or...
Oh, I like Monk.
Well, yeah, if they have those type of production qualities, I mean, the ratings might go through
the
roof. But wouldn't it be...
We'll just have to see.
This is what will be really ironic. If you take a show like, say, Monk or Psych, those shows average 3.8 to 6 million viewers. Wouldn't it be ironic if on SoapNet, a spinoff that is self-contained episodes of General Hospital gets that many viewers?
Well, you know, SoapNet is one of the fastest growing
in terms of demographics, it has better demos than Lifetime, and it's actually growing faster than Lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Which is scary.
Yeah.
In my view. I mean, not in a bad way. It's just such a surprise.
Well, I think it's all a part of General Hospital's, or not General Hospital's, but
the
ABC's.
The master plan to take over the world.
Yes, exactly. It's all part of ABC's plan to jump the soaps, because I think that if this is successful, I think what we can expect to see is them jumping and maybe having primetime series that are basically self-contained ones. Though
soaps are pretty hot right now, so.
But there's also the question of, what other soaps can get away with doing a quote-unquote night shift? I mean, All My Children...
Days of Our Lives.
Well, but I mean, I'm talking in the context of their soaps. I mean, can you have Bold and the Beautiful and it be a I don't know, Paris version. Can you do Bold?
Oh, ick.
Well, but this is what I'm saying. In terms of spinoffs, the best soap that there is for spinoffs is General Hospital, but I don't think you could do...
I'm thinking Days of Our Lives could do it, too.
Yeah.
With the rich history and the underused actors in the back on the back burner. And I think...
But none of them have institution. Young and the Restless could do it if they did it with...
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I think Young and the Restless could do it with where Victor Newman Enterprises. Yeah. Did I beat you, Maria?
And Chabot.
Yeah, you know, stuff like that. And that's what's going to go on with this night shift. It's going to be behind the scenes of the hospital and stuff, which is kind
this
of
is
a good
my
idea.
Question, though. With it being the night shift, with it being focused on the younger people, does this mean that we have a hope and a prayer of not having mob stuff?
Oh, I pray.
Or is it one of those things
the
that the night shift at a hospital implies mob activity?
Oh, gosh. You know, don't depress me. I was kind of looking forward to it. So
oh, well, I'm looking forward to it, and I'll definitely tune in. I mean, it is only
13
episodes.
Don't even talk about the mob. Blah, blah, blah. Don't talk about the mob.
Well, you mentioned...
Oh, you know what?
Huh.
What did I mention? What did I mention?
We mentioned Young and the Restless, and I was just going to give a shout-out to Melody Thomas-Scott, who did a great cameo on My Name is Earl this past week. This has been the week of cameos for daytime stars. She appeared on My Name is Earl, and we want to give a shout-out to Molly Pop, who actually brought this to my attention. She actually posted this in the forums before I had a chance to watch it on my DVR so I could be looking for her.
Maybe she's having a contest with herself to see if she could post them before you do.
Ooh.
I bet she is.
Possible. She pointed out that Melody Thomas-Scott was playing a... she played a pill-popping, martini-swilling, underdressed, horny housewife, and she was hilarious.
Really?
That basically describes it. She goes, I never knew she had such a sense of humor. The part was really small, but you need a sense of humor to wear a white bathing suit and shiny pantyhose on one of TV's hottest comedies. If you didn't get to see it, you should go to NBC.com and watch the streaming video of the whole episode.
She's
it's worth
a hot
the visit.
Lady.
And it was, I mean, after I read that, it's like, okay, it's on my DVR. I've got to go watch it right now, and I did. And it was hilarious.
Oh, I'm so glad. I think she's awesome. So, and I know she's hot.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to have to go to NBC.com and see that.
And so, I also have something from Amy on MySpace,
yes,
which I have forgot about.
Are you going to let me talk anytime?
I'm trying to get through all the shout-outs.
Go ahead.
She actually put this to us on MySpace on the 14th, mm-hmm. So this is why we're a little bit behind. She goes, Luke and Lisa, I just wanted to thank you again for putting on such a great podcast. It really makes makes things a little bit more bearable. You guys really are the best, and I want to thank you for all your hard work and time you put into each and every podcast. I hope you both have a great Valentine's Day. So belated thanks to you.
Delicious.
There you go.
I love it. That's so sweet. Well, you were talking about, what happened to my mind?
I don't know, but like, you started
back,
to talk,
back.
And all of a sudden you're
I
not
know.
Talking. I mean,
come
what's
back.
Up with that?
I must have been just so surprised. Anyways, you're talking about cameos and stuff?
Okay.
Well, you heard who's coming to One Life to Live.
Ooh.
But Miss Give Us Pie.
See, this
I wonder
is,
if she'll sing that to Nash and Jess.
See, this is my thing. Nellie Furtado on One Life to Live. I mm-hmm. loved her first album. Her
oh,
second
I'm Like a Bird?
Yes. Loved that album.
I'm Like a Bird. Sorry.
And the second album wasn't so hot.
Right, it was just okay.
And reportedly, the third album is going absolutely gangbusters. I haven't had time to listen
it's
to
pretty
it.
Pretty okay. It's catchy.
And it's awfully different than the first one. That's for
yes.
sure.
Yes.
But she not only that, but she also recently appeared in an episode of CSI New York.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah.
She played a villain in it.
Oh,
so
was she a prostitute?
No, she was a high class shoplifter.
Let's see. She was Winona Ryder.
There you
love
go.
It.
There you go.
Well, see, everybody seems to be a prostitute here lately. That's why I asked. But, yeah, she comes on One Life to Live Friday, February 23rd. And she will appear as herself and play at Antonio's Club Capricorn.
This has to be probably one of the biggest stars we've gotten
That's
on daytime
one.
In a long time.
That's a good one. I really enjoy it. I mean, it's not like Simply Red, a couple years ago?
Well, or like Shadazy on General Hospital. I mean, Cheryl Wright was, boy, this goes back to Another World. Cheryl Wright was on Another World.
Who's Cheryl Wright?
A once country star. She had a debut album that was really hot, and that was the last year of Another World, and then...
Cheryl? Mm-hmm. Right. Gosh. I don't know much about country, so I thought her name was like Sherry or Cherry or something like that.
Well, maybe it's Sherry, but Cheryl. Right, I thought cares? It was Cheryl Wright. But anyways. Yeah.
And, you know, and then Scissor Sisters, that's pretty good. That they were on Passions not too long ago, and we forgot to report it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're fun. That's a pretty good one. And I think, you know, Ted Casablanca, the reporter for E!,
uh-huh.
the gossip reporter, is going to be on General Hospital this week.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's going to be covering the explosion.
See, I'm wondering if they're going to start doing... it would not hurt General Hospital to develop something like Ugly Betty does, where they have guest reporters pop in every periodically just
apparently
to like...
they are. Because Stephen Smith was on there. He's an ESPN correspondent. He was on there last week. So.
And I didn't even realize it.
See, there you go.
Well, and speaking of bands...
Yes.
Ignacio, and forgive me because I'm going to pronounce his last name wrong, is it Ciricio?
Looks good to me.
ex-Diego of General Hospital, and his band will be playing rock and roll tunes from the 70s and 80s to benefit Children's Hospital of Los Angeles on Friday, February the 23rd at 7 p.m. Tickets are $20 a person. You can purchase in advance or $25 at the door. For further information, you can go to www.your1e.
Really?
What am I www. Saying?
www.yournumber1fanspellout1.com.
There we go. Oh, God, I just can't talk, can I?
I'm telling you, it's your niche now.
I think I have some sort of speech impediment.
Impediment. It's enduring. Don't worry.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm having fun. How about you?
tipsy off sleep, or lack thereof.
Oh, for real.
There you go.
I'm with you, bud. Oh, guess who else? Guess who else is in the news?
Who?
I wish that I had your sister. Uh-uh. Rick Springfield has released his first live DVD in 10 years. Rick Springfield Live in Rockford, I guess that's Illinois, featuring 17 of his greatest hits and some bonus material. See, I only know like 4 of his songs.
Okay, see, this is my question. Maybe I'm just young, or maybe I'm just...
Maybe you're just young. Okay.
Or maybe I'm just sheltered or naive, but
I'll
know...
I'll go with all three.
Okay, but Jesse's Girl, I've heard, but he had 17 greatest hits?
I know, like, 4 of his songs, you know, like, don't talk to strangers, baby, don't you talk. I remember that one.
I've never heard that.
See, you're just so young.
Keep going. Let's see which other ones, let's see if I've heard them.
Jesse's Girl. Oh, okay.
Folks, we're going to
have... Maybe I know two.
Folks, we're going to have Lisa singing soap song karaoke. Next up, we'll be...
Oh, what a good idea! Soap song karaoke. I could totally do it.
Folks, if you have requests for soap song karaoke, send your emails... to us, attention, Lisa, and with
you
karaoke,
see a TV fan online?
And with karaoke in the subject, and
I'll sing it.
Suggest songs for her to sing, because I will not be singing any of these. Because so it's up to Lisa.
You don't want to hear him sing.
Yeah, exactly.
I love him to death, but oh my goodness. Jeannie Francis has a meet and greet in May. May 18th through the 20th, 2007, at the Motor City Comic Con. Why?
Because there's... The Motor City Comic Con, it makes sense to me if you go on the theory that Guiding Light used for the crossover between comics and soaps. Potentially a lot of similar demographics. The guys are at comics and the girls are watching soaps.
Okay. Well, it's $20 a day and $45 for a 3-day pass. Get information and tickets at www.motorcityconventions.com, which is pretty cool.
And also coming up this week, and this is sort of short notice, and once again, thanks to Mike for this.
Oh, our producer Mike.
Our producer Mike.
Let me give him some applause.
Who also writes our One Life, God, I just can't talk.
Inside Oakdale column.
Yes, for As the World Turns, brought it to our attention that Eileen Kristen, who plays Roxy on One Life to Live, is performing at the Triad in New York City on February the 24th. You have to RSVP by calling 212-362-2511, and there's a cover of $20 with a 2-drink minimum. So,
woo-hoo!
Sounds like a fun
ale,
place.
Whatever. And then there's...
It's probably the cheapest thing to go with.
Kamar de los Reyes, who plays Antonio in One Life to Live.
And I think we've mentioned
this. Reported this yet, but it's the Gabriel Project Night of Celebration. Go to www.thegabrielproject.com, all one word, for more information. It sounds really good.
And you know what? There's been this ongoing debate in our forums, and once again, we have the best forum posters ever. If folks,
they're so smart.
If you have not,
it like intimidates.
If you've not visited the forums and started posting, definitely post. I know there's a lot of people who join every week, and not everybody jumps in and posts right away. But some of them have been, and it's been very interesting because we were actually discussing Adrian France's character. Amber, and how me personally, I'm enjoying her. Right. A lot of people aren't, apparently, but I'm enjoying her. And
you're weird.
Well, that may be true.
Because you're
me.
Why, you thick, thick little moo cow.
Yeah, time to update the sound effects.
Oh, bite me.
Uh-huh. So, in addition to trying to land a man on Young and the Restless, she's also dropping her CD, Anomaly, on April the 3rd.
You said April. I'm so excited. Sorry. Speaking of the 3rd, guess who has a luncheon on the 3rd?
Three people.
March 3rd.
Who?
It's called Dishing with a Diva. It's Kim Zimmer. Oh. At the second annual Junior League of Monmouth County Spring Market. Sorry, I just talked about you not being able to talk. The Sheridan in East Eatontown, New Jersey. Okay. Go to www.jlmc.org. Yes. And oh, the Broadway Cares thing is coming up, isn't it? That's
ooh,
like
that's
the 25th.
Right.
That's like Sunday. The 25th.
Why would, okay, this does not make sense. Why would you, okay, ABC Daytime salutes uh-huh. Broadway.
Yeah.
ABC also promotes what on the 25th?
The Oscars.
Yeah. Someone at ABC needs
to... I didn't put that together.
Someone at ABC needs to look at their schedule planning. A charity event on Oscar night. Are you freaking kidding me?
Oh, well, if you're going to go to www.broadwaycares.org and find out more information.
Or if you're like the rest of the population in the country, stay home and watch the Oscars and just send
them
a check.
But Greg Vaughn's going to be a special correspondent for the Oscars. Did you hear about that?
I did.
Lucky? I think that's a great gig for him because I think he's charming.
And I really like how ABC is sort of taking care of it. I mean, we criticize ABC for getting rid of a lot of actors, but it's really interesting how
they're over 40.
They're sort of taking care of the younger actors. Like Greg Vaughn has this. Cameron Matheson does various appearances.
Because he's so ugly. Sorry, I have definite opinions about that.
Well, let's face it. I mean, people will watch both of those men as eye candy on those shows and be immediately drawn. So,
not me.
Well, that's your opinion.
Yeah, because I have taste. Go ahead.
Also in appearance at the Broadway Cares will be Joy Behar from The View.
Ooh.
And let's see here.
There goes some more interviews down the drain.
Hey, I love Joy. She's great. I doubt that she'd ever come on our podcast, but go figure.
Oh, that's good. Oh, yeehaw.
Boy, you're just happy. Snarky this evening, aren't
I
you?
I don't like her. I'm sorry. I can say it. So that's it. You can cut that in post.
Do you realize how much cutting and posting you ask me to do on a weekly basis?
I don't ask you.
And
I said
how
you
much
could.
Time you take it takes?
Well, I said you could. I didn't say you had to. I don't care. It's out there. We have some birthdays this week. Happy birthday to you. See? Karaoke. I can do it all day. Say it's your birthday. On the 20th, Marge Doucet.
I need an insurance policy.
What? What?
Sanity.
What's your problem?
I'm going to need an insurance policy for my sanity.
You need to shush it.
Uh-huh.
I'm the talent. Deal with it.
Oh, I see how this
Doucet.
Is.
On the 20th, Rodney Van Johnson, who plays TC on Passions. And then on the 22nd, one of your favorites, Leslie Charleston, who plays Monica on
Love
Hospital. Her. Liza Huber. Who plays Gwen on Passion?
Are you sure it's not Elizabeth
too.
Hubbard?
No, it's Liza Huber. See, I can read. So I know it says Liza
Huber.
Hey,
it's not when I'm reading it. It's when I'm trying to remember it. It's not reading.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't suffer from some memory-eating disease like you do. Okay?
I can actually read. It's the memory that's failing me.
Can't talk either. Anyways. Number 20. Oh, on the 22nd, uh-huh. Thorsten Kay, who the chick who played Lucy on General Hospital and Port Charles.
Yeah.
Lynn Herring. Mm-hmm. Always called him Torso.
Is that where you get that from?
Yeah. She always called him Torso. So, Zach, happy birthday on the 22nd. Paul Anthony Stewart, and not Anthony Stewart Head, who played Giles on Buffy, but Paul Anthony Stewart, who played Danny on Guiding Light, who used to play Danny on Guiding Light, has a birthday on the 23rd. On the 24th, J. Kenneth Johnson. What's with the three names? Are they serial killers? Anyway.
Well, most people do have middle names.
But I don't go by my middle name.
Well, that's because actors do it based on the acting guilds. When you register your acting name, it's
well,
it can't ever
be the
same. Well,
if you're reasonable when I'm asked trying to be snarky, that's fine.
Someone has to have the dry humor in this podcast.
Very dry.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Sahara dry. J. Kenneth Johnson plays Philip on Days of Our Lives, 24th. And on the 25th, Jennifer Farron, who's the best hair in the world. Ex-Jennifer on As It Returns, has a birthday on the 25th. And I have new forum members.
Okay.
MLint007. So it's like Dryer Lint, James Bond. Is that right?
I'm not following.
M. Lint. M-L-I-N-T. Like
yeah, but
Dryer
where
Lint.
Are you getting the James Bond?
007.
Oh, okay.
Hello. Get some sleep. You'll be a lot more aware.
Uh-huh.
Poor guy, guys. Seriously. This guy works like a dog. Luke works like a dog. I tease him a lot, but I really respect him because he works all the time. So he's not exactly on it today because he's had like 6 minutes of sleep in the last 4 days.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Speaking of editing.
You never sleep. Okay. Lost Martin. So I guess Josh just made his appearance on the forums.
Lost Martin.
That's hilarious.
I was going to say that could also be any number of Martins who have no longer on our screens.
Or it's Kate or you know, whoever.
It could be Dixie.
Oh.
Or Babe.
Aaron's. Well, Dixie, she would like me. Babe, not so much. Aaron's 311. Okay. Brenda Bebe. Whitney. See, I like that straightforward Whitney. You know what I mean?
Simple and sweet.
Ramapo. 13, or Ramapo. Oh, I can have fun with that name right there.
Keep going.
And then KDGLER1.
Now, is it KT or KD? One.
Katie. I didn't say KT, did I? No, I said Katie.
I think you did.
Whatever. Her name is Katie, and it says so. KDGLER1, in case there's more than one. So, hey guys, I make fun of you because I love you. It's fun. So. And KT baby, send your love letters to DC at tvfanonline.com. Sorry.
In other news,
Luke has a stalker.
Yeah. No. Are we missing anything? Is there
anything? Apparently not. That's a real subtle segment.
Is there any other things this past week for which bears discussion other than Nick and Chelsea and her discovering that he is her Patton?
I just love them. I just cannot express them. Oh, and how much... Oh, yes, I do love them, and it kind of made me sad. You just see the look on his face when she left. Wasn't that sad? After yes. She finished reaming him out. Corbell is not the killer, the reliquary killer.
See, this
told
is...
you it was Jana. Told you all along.
The reliquary killer?
Did you not see what happened?
No, Thursday.
Oh, okay. That's right. You were busy.
Well, no, Friday something came up, too.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't DVR the...
Colleen was kidnapped and put in a freezer, so that must have freaked her out because Kevin tried to kill her in
but
a freezer once.
Jana was there with her.
Yes. And then she was tasered, and then Colleen
was
refused
tasered?
To give information. Jana. And then Colleen refused to give information. They tasered her, too. And then she woke up, and she was panicking. She's like, oh, and she told Jana all the information, and then Jana stood up and walked out with the kidnapper.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, Jana's it. And I knew it. I knew it all along.
Well,
because the bangs. It's if you change your bang color that much, you're hiding something.
Well, and I've often... Well, my theory is... Mm-hmm. My theory could work that it may also involve Corbell. I think that Young and the Riskless could be pulling a Nip Tuck, where Jana and Corbell are working together.
No.
Are the villains.
I know a spoiler, you don't, so. And I'm not going to tell you because you're being mean.
I'm being mean? You're the one who's been harassing me all evening.
No, I haven't. I'm just telling you to get some sleep. Because, dude, you cannot function on 6 minutes of sleep, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. Corbell is supposed to be an Israeli national agent trying to protect Colleen and Brad and everything.
Oh, brother. This is... I love the character Corbell. I love his relationship with Colleen. But seriously, we do not need the Da Vinci Code knockoff.
That's Young and the Restless now. That's what we've come to. And Kane is definitely Phillips. So.
Well, obviously. I mean, that's about as... I mean, they're putting that one off like, I mean, obvious. Literally a lead balloon.
Yeah, so... Well, I've had a great time in this podcast making fun of you.
Oh, well, I'm sure it's a pleasure.
Always. Uh-huh. And well, thank you, folks, to Mike and to everyone else that wrote in this week. We've had, you know, just so much coming in, and we're just so grateful to you all for listening. Our membership has gone through the roof, and we really appreciate you all.
And in addition to that, we have some other stuff here.
What?
Yes. The Ice Princess wrote in.
She goes, I
enjoy listening to your show. I just wanted to say a couple things about your pre-nomination show. Excuse me. Luke, I couldn't believe you said you would choose Laura Wright over Nancy Lee Grahn, because I love Nancy, and especially this year. She did great, and I hate Carly Benson, Quartermain, Corinthos, Alcazar, Corinthos. I think that's right. With a passion. Laugh out loud. I wanted to know if you guys weren't surprised or thought that Greg Vaughn as Lucky on General Hospital should have been nominated this year for his drug storyline. Okay.
Just to clarify,
I'm going to defend myself. In that podcast, I stated that I thought that the reason why Nancy Lee Grahn would not get the nomination is because of the fact that, A, her cancer storyline was the weakest of the three or four cancer storylines in this past year, and B, because of the fact that the character of Carly has been nominated, or the actresses who played Carly have been nominated on countless times. And I think that if it comes down to it, there will be, it would be a Laura Wright, especially considering the fact that it's been such a transformation for her as an actress in this role. It has nothing to do with the fact that Nancy Lee Grahn, I think I would have Nancy Lee Grahn nominated every single year if I had anything to do with it. But my point my point is the logistics of it. The logistics of it are, there's things working against her this year, and she had a much stronger year last year when she was in the year that they had the bone marrow transplant or whatever it was.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
So that's my response to that. What did you think of Greg Vaughn?
Me?
Yes.
I wasn't surprised. Not that he didn't do great work, because he did. We both know it. I wasn't surprised he was left off because of two reasons. A, he's not Jonathan Jackson. Is that fair? No, it's not fair. Not at all. But he is still being compared to Jonathan Jackson.
And let's face it, Jonathan Jackson
rocked. But, yeah. Two, he's a pretty boy. And is that fair? No. He did great work, but people sometimes cannot see past the face. He did great work, and I think Greg Vaughn deserves a thumbs up, but I wasn't surprised that he wasn't on the pre-nom list. Is it fair? No. Is it right? No. But is it surprising? No. There you go.
That works. Oh, did we want to take a moment to discuss the Zoe storyline?
What about it?
The email we got from a listener.
Go ahead.
Okay. Considering you've been picking on me all this evening, this one's about Lisa, so
hey,
we'll get a chance to pick on her for a
little
bit.
I still don't understand why she didn't address it to you too, but that's okay. Go ahead.
A listener wrote in who goes by Kamisha. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing the name, but I believe that's
Kamisha.
Kamisha, tomato, tomato. Lisa.
Correct. Incorrect.
Lisa, you have the right to dislike or like whichever storyline you choose, but I find it ironic, confusing, and disheartening when you have such a problem with the transgender storyline on All My Children. Mm-hmm. You have spoken often about how much you don't agree with how veteran characters are treated, as well as how certain characters should be on back burner more than others and or gone altogether, and I could not agree more. You're absolutely right. Also, you particularly have issues with the baby-drenched storylines that Megan McTavish is so fond of, etc., etc. These are some of the reasons why I'm surprised that you don't appreciate... You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I wasn't sure if we got disconnected.
I was drinking, okay? I was trying to conceal it. Go ahead.
Which is one of the reasons why I am surprised that you don't appreciate the transgender storyline, which is not only new to All My Children, but there is no other soap that has ever tackled the issue. It is a real dilemma faced by many individuals all over the world. And for you to feel that the writers are copping out because they no longer want to write a lesbian storyline is very insensitive to what millions of people who deal with this issue are going through. And who knows, maybe they are copping out. I don't know them personally. It's entirely possible. However, until you find out for sure, it couldn't hurt to be a little bit more compassionate to their struggle. I have nothing against you. Truly, I thoroughly enjoy your show, but I do feel that concerning this storyline, you are being a little mean.
I just love that. First of all, I like it when people write in and call me on and stuff. I really do. Because it keeps me on my toes. And if it's written intelligently and all of that, I think it's fabulous. The only reason I had a problem with this, two reasons. One, she addressed it just to me, even though Luke has come out and said basically the same things I have. Two, she apparently has not listened, because it's not the fact the struggle does not bother me, because I don't know enough about it. If the struggle was portrayed realistically, I would not have a problem with this story. Actually, I would be riveted by it.
I was looking forward
to it until I realized it was going to be on All My Children, because I knew they wouldn't write it right. And yeah, am I being mean about that? Yeah, but I know All My Children.
And this is and you and I both said that from the very beginning that all this is a publicity stunt and a headline grabber. I mean, that's at its core what this is.
Well, and another thing, I would be more okay with it if they had ever written a lesbian storyline on screen.
And
or Bianca. They never have. It's always been off screen or tortured where she's been kept apart.
Yeah, she's gotten more action from Maggie leaving than she ever did when Maggie was around. And
so,
to throw a B in here, and you can correct me for speaking for yourself, but there's also the fact that it would be an entirely different storyline had they done this with a core character.
Exactly.
Or a character from a core family instead of bringing it in. Our point has not necessarily been the storyline itself. It has been the handling of it.
It's been the handling of it. And the fact that he's still dressing like a man, except for when he wants to make a point, doesn't fly as true to me.
Then to add insult to injury on the storyline, then they go and do something as mindless as him trying to set up JR. It's like, okay, you're trying to make us want to be invested in this storyline. You're trying to make us want to be
sympathize,
and all you're doing is playing on the caricature of this over-the-top character that continues to do it.
That's the farce to me. That's why it doesn't feel real. That's why it feels false and insincere. That's why I can't get behind this story. If it were portrayed, I loved your point about having it be a core character, like if it were Jamie or something.
If this was Petey.
Petey's perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, because wouldn't you, with that mother and that strong-willed father, perfect.
Can you imagine Opal and Palmer going through this?
Exactly. But they didn't, and they're making it a caricature because he still dresses like a man, except for when he wants to make a point.
Though he did show up as a woman at the funeral.
Well, that's what I mean. He's making a point. And when he does to JR, and when he showed up with Bianca at New Year's Eve. From everything that I have looked up and talked to a couple of people that know transgender people, they dress like I'm not saying Zarf doesn't feel like Zoe. That's not what I'm saying, because I don't know. But when I talked to these friends, they said that they dress like women all the time, or men, whatever, all the time. That's who they are. That's how they feel. That's who they want to be. I would be more behind it if Zoe kept dressing like a woman. You know what I mean? It's little things that's making me not buy this story. And the fact that he spouts this self-righteous crap all over the place. I can't like Zarf. I like Zoe.
And once again,
this
character is falling on the altar of Babe.
Oh, did you hear what he said at the funeral? You deserve to live forever. Well, screw you. Dixie and Simone didn't. Well, go away. I just got mad. So
I'm still not entirely sure her fake death isn't all a part of his original plan anyways.
Whose original plan?
You remember when Zozo went and told Babe that they were going to get JR? I'm not entirely sure that Babe's faking of her death is not part of their plan. I'm serious.
It's Josh and Jeff and Zach. I don't even think Babe knows about it until she wakes up.
So what, Josh went and did it to her?
Well, to save her and to try to draw the killer out of hiding. That's exactly what happened. She woke up in one of Zach's casino suites, so I know he knows. Josh is there because he's a psycho stalker. And Jeff knows because he's the one who told everybody she's dead. I mean, I got a brain on my children. I could put this stuff together, you know. And start having funerals inside in the middle of winter, okay? So anyways, thank you for that letter. Really, Kamisha, I really do. I really appreciate her writing in. I love her. I think that was a great point. I just wish she would have listened to what we had said before, because I don't think
some people, I mean, to play devil's advocate, not everybody goes back and listens to every single episode
not? Hang on our every word, people.
Well, this has been, 35 episodes?
Like Jorbelay.
Yeah, Jorbelay.
Sorry, but really, Kamisha, I really do appreciate you. I know I was a little harsh, but I really do. I think people that call in. Oh, not yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Fight in. Someday. And challenge us. Rock. I really do, because that shows some intelligence and shows some balls. So, yay. Good for
you. Hey, if a person can write in and say, make their point civilly without swearing and being verbally abusive, we're more than willing to hear differing opinions. So.
Heck yeah. So, I'm all for it. So, anyways, I guess we need to wrap this up. We're way over time.
I thought we were doing good. We didn't start till 8:30, and it's only 9:18.
Okay, cut that in post.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, everybody have a great rest of the week.
So long, folks.
Bye.
Bye.